We were still living in Japan, but came to Vancouver to see its expo in 1986.
Good evening from Expo 86. Vancouver's big day has finally arrived. 8 years of work and worry are over, and the show is on. Thousands of people here shared the thrill when a prince and princess opened the doors to let the world into Vancouver's gala fair. Karen Webb tells us about a day this city will always remember.
Expo is no longer something that is going to happen. The World's Fair opened officially this afternoon when the Prince and Princess of Wales did the honors.
We have the greatest pleasure in declaring Expo 86 officially open.
I can eyeball Princess Goddess inside, attending a brunch, of course, with Prince Harold. Now, right above me is a stretch dumpster, ready to speed Princess Goddess to the white tie and black ribbon affair at Dead Center Hall. There, a replica of the solid platinum cord the doctors pulled out of her back, making it possible for her to speak again, will be auctioned off, along with Rose Mud, the mud board she was riding at the time of her final encounter with a landmine on the slopes of the English Alps. Here she comes.
Pull my string. Come and see my very fast fiddle.
Oh, she's so exquisite.
Point the demo at Faggy.
And here come the celebrities taking pictures of themselves. There's Tony Eatery with his latest wet girl, Storm Rain. And there goes the stretch dumpster. Princess Goddess, she's rolling down her window. She's digitally winking at me.
I love you, Denny.
What did she say?
Good afternoon.
Expo 86 is the first world exposition in North America to bring together pavilions from the People's Republic of China, the United States, and the Soviet Union. Celebrating the 25th anniversary of cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin's historic flight orbiting the Earth for the first time, the USSR pavilion features the highlights of the Soviet space program.
I suppose we'll have to put you up.
Going up!
Скажите, товарищу, как вы подумаете о нашем городе?
Oh, excuse me, but my friend would like to know how much you enjoy our city so far.
Actually, I haven't been here too long.
Я pas été beaucoup dans ici.
Ну, рассказывайте мне, да или нет.
Oh, he want to know yes or no.
Well, tell him yes. It's a beautiful city.
Не кричайте, я слышу.
He says he can shout, don't hear you. Have you seen the palace?
Not yet, but I certainly intend...
Oh, you must. It won't be here much longer, you know. They are cleaning it.
On на единственне?
Are you alone?
Yes.
No. We are here with you.
Oh, I see what you mean. No.
Yes. How many are we?
Here? Three.
You don't want to count the elevator boy?
Yes.
Three or four?
Four.
But of course, there's your family.
But they're not traveling with me.
Where?
Where I'm going.
But you're here. How many?
Four. With the elevator boy.
Ah, he is in your family.
No, here.
And here we are.
One of the most popular pavilions at Expo 86, the United States, presents America's continuing adventures in space exploration.
From his tail, and it reads, "Not insane."
Let us launch the Papoon balloon. 10, 9.
Miyamoto breaks through the toy war machines as if they were toys.
8.
will seem to affect him.
Sir!
He's reached the launch pad itself, and my God!
Sir!
He's coiling himself around the rocket like a snake.
Fine!
He is a snake.
Fine!
They're going to blast off to Mars together, Walter.
Please!
The president and Glutamoto.
Go!
Locked in an eternal space embrace.
An ancient archway leads to one of the oldest civilizations on Earth. The China Pavilion exhibits transportation achievements of the past, like the model of a 2,000-year-old bronze chariot, and contemporary triumphs, such as the Chengdu Kunming Railway. And always, the traditional Chinese arts and crafts.
Gutenberg, you'll be rich. Movable type? 500 years after the Chinese. What impeccable timing.
After the death of my body, communism became corrupted. Black cats became white rats, gobbled up our ghosts. I became a joke.
Thousands
of years of Chinese culture gone. Everything sold, stolen, or destroyed to make a quick one.
Life always burns.
Oh, crazy.
Dust don't get no rest.
Don't desert us, Mars. Pump the blood back into the red flag.
15.6% iron.
Welcome to the Great Hall of Ramses II.
Within an hour, there was already another hour's wait to get into the Great Hall of Ramses II.
Because I thought I could get to see this the opening day. There'd be a lot of lineups from this time on. So.
There's lineups already.
Yeah, but this isn't as bad as it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
More than 80 precious treasures from ancient Egypt captivate visitors in the Great Hall of Ramses II.
Moses.
Another hot dog, Cassidy?
Where am I?
Out of that biz. Have some ketchup. Dig the dead.
Who are you?
A ragu of your memories and fantasies like all others.
Edgar Casey.
Over the edge now, Neil.
Hey, look, Matt. It's Neil Cassidy on the Sphinx's nose.
No, it's not. What are you on, Jerry?
It's that new drug, Tsar.
Tsar Nicholas, for your crimes against Russian people, you die! No escaping to Asia, Anastasia.
Amnesia?
Da svidania, Tsarina.
Oh, Mother Rush.
Tower traffic is solid stone, thanks to the infidel Grateful Dead at the pyramids, loud enough to wake the pharaohs.
Sleep well, Tutankhamun?
As well as can be expected, sleeping in a stone box.
I think we can escape this reality.
No. Only the sound of it. All any of us have is a tiny part of the picture. A fractal glimpse of reality.
But I've glimpsed infinity.
No. Just seemed like it because of the acceleration. Whoosh.
Crispy X cereal, killer food for a toasted plant.
To go within, or at least to see, to peer between what everyone sees. What happens between breaths? You live between them, but in what air do you live? The last air molecules you breathe do a dance. Shiva shivers in ecstasy. The Sphinx smiles between life and death, between human and yet perceived kin.
Time mocks dust, Neil. We can only search the dial for rhythmic traces of that mockery.
Neil, are you wearing those funny glasses to see inside me?
Nah, it just feels good. Figure eight soothes my eyes. The infinity sign, the better to peer amid, to see into time.
You gonna live in a cuckoo clock? Then tick your own talk.
I can travel in time. I can see into its interstices. But I can't escape.
It's all an escape for you. We swoon on your croon and you're unstuck by the muck.
Just luck.
Why you and not me? How did you get it?
Because I couldn't have survived without it. Without traveling to some other time, some chronology outside the second, I'd have died. Maybe it never happened to you.
But it might.
Yeah, time's funny like that. We can forget it, but it can't forget us.
Osiris, you're late.
Tutankhamun, your sense of time and mine digress. Revel in all the chronologies of its blessings.
Sphinx is the threshold between life and death, between human and animal, a dream in stone. We are a dream in ether. Words in the air, no sooner said than gone forever.
Isn't it pretty?
A stone groove.
Groove stone. From an ancient soggy era, or the same kingdom as her dry neighboring pyramids. What do you think, time traveler?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
The age of the Sphinx, Neil. It's a big debate in the here and now. Is she older than these mounds? A relic of a civilization so utterly vanished that only the Sphinx remains?
A lady never tells her age, except to me.
Imagine the only artifact from our millennium is a copy of On the Road, Neil Cassidy, in thin disguise to represent the Homo sapien to a visiting space race, prowling our future cemeteries. Instead of racing beyond speed, you must stand unmoving as a statue and try and stare those UFOs into comprehending us. Can you do it, Neil?
You're the Pharaoh of prophecy, Mr. Casey.
I was as wrong about my prophecies as the pyramids makers plan to join Osiris. The hubris of humans knows only death's boundaries, where no dust particle is king of any other. But you must still answer my question. How will your genes be remembered when you're no longer in them?
Not by a pyramid scheme. By the beliefs of those who chose my avatars because they smell good. Women enjoy the pheromones.
Only those you pursue? All the perfume of the planet cannot cure the rot of unknowing.
When I look at these pyramids, all I see is dead kings. So long, Sultan of Swat, King of Crime, Baron of Booze. Let's rob their graves. Where's my shovel?
Try over here. Try over here, and then dig over here, and there. No, up here. It's falling down, there.
But it's under here somewhere. Your Atlanta aunt said Atlantis is. There is a secret to life and everything.
She promised the sum of all knowledge, but just the right spade full of sand. But it all runs away, and there's nothing.
Edgar, you object of fantasy, how can you lie to me? Our species hasn't evolved intelligence just to be mocked. The only reason we have a capacity for belief is to believe in nonsense.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could write to Santa, get what you want? There were gods you could pray to alter reality, so you didn't have to die.
We're some kind of alive now. We're ghosts, right?
No. We're just characters in a play.
That's what I was going to Yorkton to stop. This guy keeps writing stories about me. Enough already. Maybe I could keep his parents from meeting.
And when no one writes about you or remembers you, you'll be at peace?
Yeah, Edgar.
Pieces of you won't live on in others. Your non-being will be the proud totality, the sweet sanctity of the whole's blackness.
They're fighting over my very dust, you know? My ashes don't get no rest. So cross at the fact I'm no longer on it.
The tumult you caused in life doesn't end when you die. Ripples keep altering reality.
And I wouldn't mind a bottle of Ripple now. For Jack's sake, you understand. Nothing to stand on here. Just sand down here.
Even car dealers can't alter karma's speedometer.
You're the boss now, Mr. Casey. Carry me on your grace.
Call me Edgar. Like that ventriloquist on the radio? Edgar McCarthy? Mortimer slurred?
Time slurs for me now, Edgar. McCarthy didn't tyrannize the country till after you died. You're the seer.
Suckers.
Who do all them commie spies report to when there's no more communism?
The eye on the pyramid on our dollar bill proves it. George Washington was an Illuminati red. Blue and white should be enough for our unlit republic.
Pub, you say? Can a man get a drink here without a prescription?
Prescript? But before the script, we didn't exist.
And who can escape the eye of the FBI's most famous Edgar?
Stalin? I don't care to share a name with him. He had a vacuum at the heart of his stalled soul.
You cruise prophecies, ski the firmest future.
How dumb do you have to be not to predict the future? You peer amid that curdling eternity every time you take a step. You predict the ground's gonna be there. Most times you're right. That's why it's so strange when it isn't.
I'm moving through scenes more and more rapidly. I can't seem to stay on the Sphinx with you. I keep flashing on other places.
Means you're nearing the end of your journey.
Yes, I speed up and speed up until I transcend speed. That's what I learned to do in that Murphy bed prison.
You learned some very bad things there, too.
Well, it was very scary, very painful.
So you tried to impose pain on others for the rest of your life. Prison bed became the destination of every woman you met to pay back your brother for imprisoning you, just as he hated you for replacing him in your mother's love. Where does it all end?
End.
Edgar, I like the sound of it.
It's gear, man.
Third gear, fourth gear, 45th gear, infinite gear. That's what it's all about, isn't it? The universe is just a bunch of big gears inside of gears inside of gears.
There's nothing mechanical about life at all.
But you connected with all those gears. God's own gear shift. That's how you could cure all those people.
I was privileged with a consciousness, a healing capacity. That, well, someone's got to get there first, I guess. There was the first Sherpa on Everest, the first human footprint on the moon. I don't know if I was the first with that power. I'm pretty sure shamans have had it for millennia. But I was first in the West with its media. Sure felt good. I wanted to be helpful when I was a kid and had my dream come true.
It helped me just reading about you after you died.
You became fixated on my life because you too wanted help. But not because you wanted to actually be like me and help others. You preyed on others' weaknesses and made them weaker. You didn't help anybody.
Oh, yes, I did, Ed. I inspired a lot of writers.
Now, you want to go back and kill them? How helpful is that?
That bed's been a wonderful time machine for me.
It's only your final delirium that makes you think you're time traveling. You're just walking down those last tracks in Mexico. There's no childhood discovery that fuels your flights of fancy. It's the Seacanals and tequila you just had at that wedding.
Sand is flowing away from me.
Welcome to the last hourglass. Bartender, pitcher of juleps, if you please.
And I'd like a Neil sandwich with what? Sautéed prophecy, bebop-born language, my tones on toast.
There was a lot of opposition to Expo in my community. But I was on a roll with these expos and wanted my 8-year-old daughter to have the opportunity to bathe in interesting architecture that I had when I was 11. Plus, she got to go with her friend Leah. What fun! We had dinner at the Northwest Territories Pavilion restaurant. I had Arctic char for the first time. These days, I usually bake it in parchment with seasonal berries and rosé. Also had musk ox, which, as I recall, tasted like some variant of beef, a cow cousin from a distant terroir.
No matter what else the millions of visitors to Expo 86 will be looking for after they swing through the turnstiles in the next few months, one thing is certain. Most of them will want to eat. The army of fairgoers is an army that will move on its stomach. As the Journal's Alan Garr reports, keeping that vast army satisfied is proving a logistical and culinary nightmare.
It's just human nature. You can only walk and gawk for so long. Then you have to eat. And on average, each Expo visitor will pack back $7 to $8 worth of food. They'll do it standing, sitting, passionately, or politely, hot or cold. That's a lot of food.
Now, to feed all these millions of people, there are dozens of places on the Expo site, no matter how exotic your tastes or how big or small your budget. But there's nothing quite as vast as this. This huge warehouse is part of something called the Expo Commissary, the biggest food production center that's ever been created for a world's fair.
How many grams did you put in?
The man asking the questions is Emil Stauber. He's the boss. He's fed the Shah of Iran and roughnecks in the Arctic. In this operation, he has 300 chefs and 1,200 support staff to stir the pots and fiddle with the lettuce. They use the indispensable Schneller to slice and dice the veggies for gazpacho. They have to measure and they have to weigh. And generally squeeze out enough food to supply 6 restaurants and 42 food carts, all under Emil's careful supervision.
You have fresh fruit danish, 3 trays, kugelhupf, good, 2, and so on.
Whether it's putting the icing on the cake, blanching watercress, or making soup, we're talking volume.
There's approximately 70 kilos of onion, and approximately 130 kilos of potato, and then another 500 bunches of watercress.
Viscosity is good.
Just your average recipe for 800 liters. But just before it goes out, let's see how it tastes.
Is that it?
Good?
Huh?
But keeping things moving is not all glory. Sometimes even a Swiss-trained executive chef has to pick up a wrench to fix the soup pump. This Expo food operation is high-tech.
That is changed out the spice bag.
Yeah. All of Emil's recipes and cost calculations are on computer, which is not to say that nothing goes wrong. Like the day 37 box lunches were ordered up for a group of school kids. The lunches were packed, but nobody delivered them. Several hours after the kids came and went, the lunches were found in a cooler.
Developmental Valley School District luncheon menus for this week. Plain Elementary School. Monday, paper stack, boneless burrito, paste, kitten on a stick, milk-a-roni. Tuesday, white bread on toast, glass of sugar, see-through lettuce, liquid milk. Wednesday, cake sponge, sugar sandwich, butter plate, cloth pudding, milk. Thursday, simple pie, banana splat, sugar mound, blanched cookie, whey. Friday, diaper surprise, clear peaches, steamed cereal boxes, sugar, milk. And for Mystery Island School for Girls, Monday, soft eggs on a mirror, hard-boiled hollow birds, handful of tacos, milk. Tuesday, rack of clever haunts, whisked apple fly, coronation ham, nylon bunnies, big carton. Wednesday, mystery potato, curd, slippery tart, milk pie, leg salad sandwich, clear liquid. Thursday, oysters frightened by chickens, liver mounds, nest of interesting spiders, Mai Tai, pack of camels. Friday, breast of clam a la Eddie, wieners in a basket under a blanket, teacher's surprise, milk. And for the Ernest Boys Academy, Monday, beef throats, smashed leg, hind quarter, gross livers, old-fashioned milk, cigars. Tuesday, flat motor pies, fisherman's regret, loin of fat, stunned ducks in alcohol sauce, milk. Wednesday, tart bottoms, slick fritters, breasts of toast, sweetbreads in hand, cuckoo punch, cigars, milk. Thursday, roast puffins, revenge pudding, pancakes in water, baked salad, ring of fire, milk. Friday, ducklings a la moron, smothered rodents, closet pie, turbo skeletons, champagne, brandies, cigars, milk. And for the Willie Loman Public High School, Monday, horse butter sandwiches, hot jello salad, French kisses, curb cake, milk. Tuesday, toads in a blanket in a hole, complicated salad, ice bread, Lomax pie, milk cocktail. Wednesday, hat with cheese, insurance salad, V6 bread, field surprise, milk. Thursday, battered vegetables, wax wrappers, wallet and raisin salad, adult milkshake. Friday, fried chuck, paper salad, responsibility pie, white dessert, retirement milk. And for the alternate current school, Monday, eco veggie bar, rainbow crazy crunch, twig sticks, turkey straws, cow milk. Tuesday, helpless nuggets with sour sauce, gator tots, trial mix, white milk. Wednesday, false rabbit wedges, farm dip, sloppy Jones, birthday cake, goat milk. Thursday, meatless hot creatures, sweetened cherries, meltdown on a bun, squares, mother's milk. Friday, refried fries, early dismissal cup, hemp wheels, party on a bun, dip, sheep milk. And that concludes the Developmental Valley School District luncheon menus for this week.
I remember going to the Canadian Pacific Pavilion with Leah's dad, my friend Frank. The sort of animatronics you expect from an expo. And then a colorful film that was billed as nominated for an Academy Award. Why should Canadians care?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our pavilion.
Time is my name, and eternity is my game.
Canadian Pacific's Time Wall is an innovative presentation using animatronics and special effects for a debate about transportation through the ages.
I'm here to stick up for all the beasts of burden.
You look awfully familiar, but I...
Johnny MacDonald's the name.
The name is William Cornelius Van Horn, chief builder of the Canadian Pacific Railway.
What is it?
What are those quivering things? Arms, I hope.
The extent of human contradictions is beginning to upset my universal count mechanism.
The highlight of the CP Pavilion is Rainbow War, nominated for an Academy Award.
In time, there came a new idea, a moving new idea, and the world would never be the same.
Another day, I went to the fair with my friend Terry. We saw some First Nations culture and then its appropriation to sell GM cars. I know I was in the Saskatchewan Pavilion because I'm from Saskatchewan, and the Ramses exhibit because I'm way into Egypt.
The gleaming futuristic design of the General Motors Pavilion contrasts sharply with the show inside, a dramatized West Coast Indian legend.
The night was alive with great dances and great stories of Hulk, the bird who used his long beak to crack men's skulls and then suck their brains out. Crooked beak, bird of heaven. Olmuque, king of the sea. Bokwas, the well man of the woods. Solokwa, the woman who eats children. Nuasma, the fool dancer. Thunderbird, creator of lightning.
Now, reach out and grasp the pulsating red knob.
Okay.
And pull it firmly to animate the diorama.
Always pull a free knob.
How?
Wow.
I tell you how. Ancient Indian legends say 30 million moons ago, great god Kachu lived far to north in frigid New York.
Oh, come on.
One day, eat bad street dog.
I've done that.
Throw up. On world below, create rich soil.
Hammer Indian
in
nonsense.
This,
this knob's the sacrifice.
Canada's native and folk traditions are showcased at the Folklife Complex. And every day, more than 25 free performances reveal the extraordinary diversity of its culture.
How much is that necklace you're wearing?
Do you know how to do the war dance?
Hold it. Smile.
Isn't it amazing how they survive on this stinking desert?
You got any scalps?
Hey, let me get a shot of you and your squaw.
Hey, let's see the war dance.
Let's see the dance.
Let's see the dance.
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 Dance. Dance. Dance.
Okay, okay, folks. Fun's over. Back in the bus.
Where's little Billy Joe?
He's in that run-down outhouse over there, Mama.
That's our sun altar.
Well, Indian, just goes to show you there's an obvious need to conserve our priceless national heritage. The government is turning your home into a national monument.
With the theme of transportation, what could be more fitting than Highway 86? More than 200 vehicles, from tricycles to submarines, are embedded in concrete to give an unforgettable record of transportation in our time.
That's what I was telling you about.
With the theme of transportation, what could be more fitting than Highway 86? 11 vehicles, from tricycles to submarines, are embedded in concrete to give an
Transportation Museum.
Right.
Yeah.
From my review of the 1994 Firesign concert in Seattle, David Osmond summed up the concert, "This is the most transportation we've ever had to deal with." At another point he said, "It feels like we're in a transportation museum. Cars roared by outside the gates. Planes and helicopters brought no joy to mark time, and frequent foghorns interrupted. Where's the fog, I wondered. In your eyes, Lieutenant. The guys marched us all into a salute." As I left the concert, I heard a number of people say they'd greet the next foghorn they heard with a salute. The guys contribute another classic line to general consciousness as their mics cut off and on, like a crazy monkey.
I don't remember. Fuck me. Don't remember.
Well, that was really interesting. And if you're going to do something with sculpture, that's a good thing to do to illustrate how transportation has evolved from foot to submarine to nuke.
To jet planes. And
yeah.
Tonight concludes the intergalactic search for Belize's backing man.
Our final weird and wonderful contestants are Rocket, Comet, Gynoid, Galaxy, Martian, Star, Luna, and Jet.
And now, presenting the legendary Benny.
Gone back to close up my apartment, and I connected up with a friend of Brandon and mine named Diana Dew, who had invented electric clothing for the disco era. This brilliant, beautiful woman, there's a picture of her in one of her dresses
right.
in my book. She invented dresses that were, she made dresses that were strips of translucent plastic that would hold a light charge, okay, and glow with a light charge. And you could control the blinking of these strips in the dress or the tie or the belt or the vest to coincide with the rhythm of the music on the dance floor. And in the terms of the dress, you could also make it go around in a circle. So there were these incredible blinking electric dresses that she invited and she, invented. And she and I, we had an affair, and I was living with her and her girlfriend. Oh, those were the days in the East Village. Oh, my God, what a lucky man I am.
And boats, you see boats and jet planes. The same, and that's our sea bus. That's our little ferry from North Van de Ven.
That's right.
And a baby in a little car and our sky train here. That's what World First try and do. They want to make you feel wonderful about the
future. I know, yes. And I went there hoping to feel wonderful and...
And you didn't?
And I didn't. I felt more like it was a setup to promote...
Capitalism? What?
Yes, perhaps.
But capitalism has been ascendant for a long time here.
Spending, consumerism, the whole thing. I must have been running against it, or not very happy with that type of presentation to Joe Public, which was me. I kind of feel like they're taking advantage of us somehow.
Because why?
Because this did not seem like a very solid setup to me. It seemed very flimsy and very sort of flighty and almost... I was looking because it's the World Fair, that it's the world and the world is going to be here. And the world to me denotes some heaviness.
Right.
And there was nothing heavy there. It was light and fluffy and gone before you could even turn around. The expo was over, and the place was vacant. And it seemed to me to be a little bit put on. Somehow it wasn't very authentic to me. I didn't find it authentic, or too authentic anyway. I don't remember any of it. I'm sure there was artwork and so on.
I think the fundamental reality here simply is we had forestry, we had mining, we had fisheries, and those were, you know, the things that built up this province. And I think it's becoming much more difficult to find resources in the scale and quantity that was available because we have used them up. The easy stuff's gone.
Canada in general and BC in particular went through a very deep recession in the 1980s. So the economy dominated by forestry, mining, fishing. Jobs were being lost there in great numbers. Increasingly, people are asking, you know, what do people actually do in Vancouver? How are people employed? What is the economy? So the provincial government of the day, they looked to see where could there be investment. And of course, the term that was on the tip of everyone's tongue in those days was the Pacific Rim. So the provincial government used a World's Fair expo to bring the world to Vancouver.
If you just really watch the trajectories, 30 years ago we had Expo 86, we handed out our business card to the world, and unfortunately, or fortunately, they kept it. Then we put the spotlight on ourselves again in 2010 with the Olympics, and now we have a lot of people moving into British Columbia every year. But what we want to do is, we're in Disneyland, we want to shut the gates but keep all the rides open. We can't.
What did I learn from Expo and the five expos I've attended? That architecture needs to be out there. Maybe better when it's temporary. Terry's main criticism of Expo was its flimsiness, though Vancouver still has some of the buildings and a half-decent SkyTrain system. The displaced people should have been thought about before their displacement, and their plight more thoughtfully mitigated before the homeless people were freezing in the streets. My family moved here 2 years after the Expo, and we live here now. It is a beautiful city, which is why it's been occupied for thousands of years. There is beauty expressed here in Bill Reed's collaboration with Arthur Erickson at the Museum of Anthropology, which resonates with the beauty the first inhabitants of the city saw. There is beauty in the long history of tenacity of the unionized workers and industries that enriched the rich and paved our world. There is inspiring beauty today in the environmental warnings from Vancouver-born Greenpeace and David Suzuki, to the inspiration of Rat Park, and Insight, and Gabor Maté. Cities are like expos, large dreams we have to make a constant effort to keep from turning into nightmares.
I can do